and $35 for a mat.
Good afternoon. This is The Love Bite. This is Nancy. And I just had a laughing fit. I don't know what happened to you, but it was funny.
So the headphones, they weren't plugged in. And so it was one of those. So there was like a super special guest in studio for Skid Row Studios earlier in the day. And so they had sandwiches, which, you know, like there's never food in this place, which, I mean, it's no big deal, but it's like, wow, there's food. So we're literally...
That says how important that person was.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that.
And so we end up getting here only 10 minutes before the show, which normally we end up getting here earlier. So we're like shoving food in our mouth as fast as we can.
No shame.
Without choking in order to try and make sure that our mouths are empty for the start of the episode. So that being said, I did not have my headphones on. And normally they're on and I can hear what's happening beforehand and stuff, and they're on and I've got 10 seconds and I still have food in my mouth. I'm like, blah, blah. And then I rushed to plug in my headphones and that made you have a laughing fit. So there's that.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. You just make me laugh just because, not because I'm laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you. I swear to God, I'm not. Just because sometimes you're silly.
No.
That's, you know.
A lot of times I'm silly.
Yeah. So people may be wondering, what the fuck is a what the fuck episode?
What the fuck is a what the fuck episode? What the fuck?
What the actual fuck?
You want to know what the fuck a what the fuck episode is?
I would like to.
Well, if you don't know, you're half of the equation. What the fuck?
So what the fuck episode, in my understanding...
Oh, all right, let's hear your understanding.
My understanding is...
Since I made it up, let's hear your understanding.
Oh, shit. my understanding of a what the fuck episode is whatever the fuck we want it to be. Whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
I like this answer.
We like to cater most of our episodes to just subjects that, you know, people just, you know, tweet about, ask about, or that we see that there's that need for it to be talked about.
Or we have a soapbox moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
happens a lot.
Exactly. But today's not that.
Well, today is a what the fuck is, there are things that will be discussed that have been, you know, kind of jumping around in my head that it doesn't really fit into a specific topic. And so it's what the fuck. And part of it is what the fuck and what the fuck is going on. And part of it is, oh, well, what is that? What the fuck is that? From people that have had genuine questions for things that we take advantage of in our little BDSM kinky life, depending on where you are in your journey, there are certain things that you just take advantage of that everybody knows what they mean and how to define them and how to live them and stuff. And some people just don't. So that's part of the what the fuck. And the other is just, you know, whatever. Whatever the fuck.
Whatever the fuck.
Whatever the fuck.
So we played on Friday.
So this is part of what the fuck, where we're just going to randomly start talking about shit.
We played and there's like knife marks on my arm. Like one of my arm, I looked and I was like, wow, because I have light skin and it looks like as if though like my skin is like cracking. It goes like that shit.
Fantastic.
It goes all the way down my arm.
Yes, it's from a lovely knife.
And then there's like all over like my boobies and probably on my back, but I can't see my back. So.
Oh yeah, you've got them on your back. I remember.
Yeah.
That was
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really nice.
It's fun, you know, and we went to a dungeon for the first time in a really long time.
Since New Year's Eve.
Yeah. And so, and we were part of a panel.
Yes.
And, you know, we got to answer questions.
I felt so legit. Did you?
Right? I'm like, most people are asking us all these questions. But part of the what the fuck came from the panel, because it was one of these, the idea for the panel was, okay, now I've discovered I'm kinky, where do I go now? Mm-hmm. And so to me, that was, oh, we're going to give people resources, blah, blah, blah. It's not what it was. It ended up being more of, all right, there's a panel of women in front of you, half of whom are dominant, half of whom are submissive, ask. And that's really what it turned into. People just ask questions. There's that, and then the week prior I had done a class where I taught about kind of impact. And then some questions that happened on Twitter this week where I realized, you know what, there's some questions that I assume everybody knows what what subspace is. I assume everyone knows what certain these things are. And it's wrong of me to make that assumption. And so, you know, we're here to talk about that. And then anything else that strikes our little fancy.
Yes. But we played on Friday.
This is going to come back a little bit more, I'm going to guess. We did. We played on Friday. And so the interesting thing about playing with Nancy, or me playing, because I don't know if it's a her or a me thing, I literally like pull out, not all my toys, but like a lot, and always my favorites. And I just kind of lay them out because I don't know what I want to do. Because I'm not one of those people that plans a scene out and I know how it's going to start and how it's going to finish. And I don't do that. That's a lot of work. I mean, the scene in and of itself is a lot of work. Why do I need to do pre-work for this work? It's like I'm doing double work. And I am not a fan of double work. I'm a fan of efficiency. So I efficiently just kind of lay all my shit out. It looked really nice the way I did it, though. Lay all my shit out.
It looked like, scary on my end.
Well, there is a lot of scariness. What do I want to do to this this seemingly sweet and innocent girl in front of me? Which, please give me a break. So, you know, there was that. And I mean, there's a lot of typicals. But here's the interesting thing about Nancy, people out there. She is really not an impact girl. So she's not into the spankings and the punchings and the canings and the paddlings and the floggings and the all of that. It's not her. I mean, it's okay. She can do it, but that's just not her thing. Well, except for face slapping. Bitch could be face slapped all goddamn day long. Mm. And I slapped really hard.
Yeah, you did.
Friday night. It was awesome.
For a second, I was like, just gonna break my face.
I loved it so much. I've wanted to slap you since you and Jen were sitting across from me and talking about face slapping. I want to slap her right now. Why are the tables so big and I can't slap you right now? So I was denied at that point. So anyway, so I took it upon myself to take all of that face slapping desire that had built up inside of me and smacked it on you there. Mm-hmm. But what Nancy is, though, is she's a sensation girl. And that, to me, means other things that are not impact. Scratching, nails, knives, Wartenberg wheel, violet wand. You know, all of these other vampire gloves. Mm. You know, all of these other things that can be used in a sensation fashion. Now, instead of me assuming that everybody knows exactly what I just said.
Right? And exactly what implements you're talking about.
What are these things? On Friday night, there was a lot of people there that clearly were very new. And they were all kind of rushing around my toy bag. It turned into this really strange thing where I felt like I'm like Mr. Robinson, like, welcome to my neighborhood and won't you be my neighbor and let me show you, you know, all this shit. Like, who's the...
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. Fuck, really? Can you expect me to remember this shit? I'm
old. Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers.
A fucking icon.
He's dead.
He's an icon.
He was gay.
He's a mother... Even better. Even fucking better.
Cardigan.
Even
wearing
fucking better.
Child molesting. I'm kidding. I don't know if he's child molester. I have no clue.
Icon.
It sounds better that
icon.
Way.
Icon.
You know he's using that cardigan to tie children up in the back. I'm just saying. It was happening. Fucking sneakers, whatever. Anyway, so Mr. Rogers, which is a total sidebar and has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, so shut the fuck up with Mr. Rogers. So here we go. So they're all like hanging around my toy bag and looking at the shit. And I was just like, you know, there's the this. And they're asking, oh, like it started with the violet wand. Because the violet wand is a very interesting implement. Mine is actually considered, it's a neon wand where it's not, it's a lesser expensive, less ampy version of electric play. It's electric play, people that don't know. The violet wand is much heavier and has a much higher output of electricity. So this is really light, and the interesting, it's got a glass tips, which are what channel the gas inside. It looks like a fluorescent tube, but it's not fluorescent, like a neon tube. Mm-hmm. And then from that, that's where the electricity arc comes from. So anyway, so it's kind of cool. People see it. And then, of course, everybody wants to watch us play because Nancy's a giggler. And she, like, does all this laughing. And then, of course, it makes me laugh. And it's just like, fuck.
It's really funny because she'll be staring me in the eyes. And I love locking eyes with her. But if sometimes, like, I'm giggling and then I can see her, like, holding in some laughter, then it makes me laugh even more.
It's funny. The best is when I have a knife in my hand.
Oh, well, there's that.
And I'm like, don't fucking move. I have a knife in my hand. And these aren't play knives. These aren't. Look, they're not really sharp and they won't cut you. No, if you laugh and you move, fucking, and that was, I was just literally just grating it. There was no digging in.
No digging in.
Because if there was digging in there, I would be using
my
sutures.
I want this to stay. Like, I want this to last as long as possible.
You're such a mark whore.
I really am.
Anyway. So then everybody came around and they were like, what is this? What? And I was like, oh, and I was already putting shit away. I'm like, oh, I take everything out. So I took everything out and I kind of let everybody touch it, and it has a little bit of the electricity, and I let people kind of feel what it felt like on their skin, etc. And that was like the starter. And I had other things out that weren't quite done being put away and being cleaned. So they were like looking at the Wartenberg wheel. What's the Wartenberg wheel? It is actually a neurological tool used by the doctors. Real live doctors.
Also, it provides me with a whole lot of sexual pleasure. Like a fuck ton.
Which would be really useful if people knew what we were talking about.
Yes.
So it is essentially, in the simplest form, it is a metal handle with a metal, a very small, less than an inch in full diameter, spike wheel that rolls on the skin. And if you think about what it does, this little spike wheel, what it does, if you roll it like on a foot or on a leg or whatever to see if people have sensation in their limbs after some sort of a spinal injury or something. So it's the neurological tool. And so this that you roll on the skin, the interesting thing about it is it can be rolled very, very lightly. Mm-hmm. Even though the spikes are really, really pokey, it can be rolled very, very lightly. And it's very tickly then. Or you can kind of dig in. And then it makes these fantastic marks. Like these little, like, perforated marks on a body. It's so fantastic. But again, you're really not puncturing the skin. There's no blood. Mm-mm. You know, but it's that's what a Wartenberg wheel is. So these kinds of sensations are what Ms. Nancy likes.
Yeah. And I don't think I've told you this story.
I get a new story
about involving myself and my blue-haired friend. This was a few years back, and she had this, and this was before I had ever even like gone out of my comfort zone to do anything even remotely kinky. And we were at her place and we were drinking, and she pulls this out and she's like, "Look, you know, let me roll this on you. It feels really good." And I was like, yeah, sure, okay. And the next thing I know, I have no idea how this happens, but I ended up with my top off. I ended up with my top off and I was laying down.
Of course you did. Because that's what little dirty sluts do.
And so I was topless and she was laughing because she was rolling it on my back. And as time progressed, I started moaning and moaning and more and more and more and more. And it was very pleasurable, like super pleasurable. And then, so then the first time that you used that on me, I was like, yes, yes, because I know what that does. I know exactly what that does. And so then when you used that on me last night and then you pulled out the vampire gloves, which, okay, now it's my turn to describe something. These vampire gloves, think of OJ's gloves.
Oh my God. You went OJ's gloves right in the middle of me taking a drink? You get on me about Mr. fucking Rogers. Now you're talking to OJ?
Okay, so think of the glove, right? And then if you look at the
glove doesn't fit, you must
acquit. So fitting. What with, you know, anyways, whatever. Anyways.
What with beating the shit out of you? Is that where it's fitting? Those are very good.
No, because we're celebrating the 20-year anniversary of LA riots. What?
Yeah, the riots weren't OJ related.
I don't know. It's just violence and shit, okay?
Wow. History rewrite. Everybody had a violent reaction to OJ's trial. It wasn't OJ. I was there. I was getting manicure and pedicure. Oh, God. Move on with vampire gloves.
Anyways, so vampire gloves. You just think of these regular gloves that are really fitted, and then on the palm of it, it has these spikes all over the hand, the fingers, the palm, everything.
Yes.
And so they look harmless. And then when you press them upon someone's, I don't know, tits, it creates, it's
pokey.
It's pokey. It's a lot pokey. And so then when you take someone's nipples and you press them with the fingertips, It's a whole lot pokey too.
It's a whole lot of pokey too. And the interesting, I remember the very first time that somebody had shown me vampire gloves. The first thing I thought, the only kind of gloves that I had seen in the scene up until that point were spanking gloves. So people put on these gloves and then so they can spank people. And so it doesn't cause the top pain in the hands.
Oh, because I was like, you need gloves for spanking? I had no idea.
It can't. It also changes the sensation of the spanking. Oh, okay. So it's not, like for me, I have stingy, spanky hands.
Mm-hmm.
If I use gloves, it would be more thuddy, but also it helps it so you don't, like, if you're like, ow, my palm of my hand hurts when I spank your ass so hard, so I'm gonna make it so the palm of my hand doesn't hurt, you know, because let's be honest, tops were fucking wusses. So anyway, so when I saw these vampire gloves, my first reaction was, oh hell fucking no, I'm never using those on somebody, because I assumed it was used for spanking, you know, really like hard spanking. All I could think is, you know, you'd have a bloody mess in front of you, which it's kind of hot, but that's my point. So I thought, well, that's beyond me. I don't know if I did this back then. Uh-huh. I don't know if that's something that sounds, and even though on my inside I was like, wow, that sounds really hot. I really want to do that. But no, this is not what we do. We do not cause this blood and the pain on the people. And, you know, I hadn't fully just given in to the fact that I'm a fucking deviant. But then when I first used vampire gloves for the very first time, I realized that the way that they can be used is so diverse, as you experienced on Friday night, where, you know, you can do the squeezing and the pressing onto the skin. And the great thing about that is you can do it all over the body. You don't have the same, with sensation, you don't have the same limitations that you do with impact. With impact, obviously, you're not touching the spine, the joints, the kidneys, major organs, that kind of stuff. But with sensation, it's all very kind of skin deep. So you can kind of touch everywhere, including trying to tickle underarms with vampire gloves, which is fantastic.
And kind of painful if you're squirming a lot.
Blah, blah, blah.
Did you just blah, blah, blah me?
Blah, blah, blah. Now you might understand, audience, why this is called What the Fuck? Because we don't fucking know. Anyway, so on Friday, like, you can do just the pressing of it, and it's almost, you can do a rolling action. If you guys saw, you know, Mission Impossible 3 Ghost Protocol, the rolling action of him climbing on the side of the wall. I just saw this a couple weeks ago. Anyway, point being, Kate, just put on your What the Fuck glasses, and if you have your What the Fuck glasses on, everything makes sense.
Okay, yes.
Point being.
Okay.
So you can do that where it's and you can press it in harder or not so hard, and it has this great sensation. You could also kind of gently scrape it along the skin. What it'll do is scratching. If you do it really light, it's tickling. If you do it a little bit heavier, it's actual scratching. Or you can do like what I was doing, just kind of slight spankings, where it was creating this intense,
so good,
you know, this intense kind of poke from the gloves. So yeah, see,
I would like that again, please. Thank you.
So there's a diversity in the vampire gloves, a diversity in sensation, which is, you know, so often you go to a dungeon and you see, or you don't, people out there go to dungeons, or maybe you watch this on the internet, but so often you see impact, you see a single tail, you see floggers, I mean, God, floggers are everywhere, you see paddles, you see spanking, you know, that's really very common, but you don't always see the sensation play, you don't always see these other alternative things to do. So what's fucking my, well, my headphones just died.
No. Anyways,
so it's one of those things where having that to share with the audience on our What the Fuck episode, I thought would be nice, because you are a sensation girl as opposed to an impact girl like Jen.
Well, yeah, but I'm not just a sensation girl, though.
You aren't?
I don't think so. I think I have more depth than that.
You do?
Well, can I just tell you how hot it was when I started stomping my feet? And then you told me that I couldn't. Uh-huh. That was pretty funny. I mean, it was funny, but it was really hot too at the same time. I didn't know what to make of that. I almost kind of wanted to stomp my feet again just so that I could get that again.
Yeah, but that's more of your humiliation thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not just a sensation girl, because there's that.
So what you're saying is next time you'd rather me do an entire humiliation scene.
Oh my God, you're going to blow my fucking mind if you did that. I think that would be, I wouldn't know what to do with myself if that happened.
No, you wouldn't.
Really fucking wouldn't.
You don't know what's going on in my head right now.
Oh, I love that when that happens.
I have ideas.
I like it when you have ideas.
I like it when I have ideas too.
But like, cause then I benefit a lot from them.
Okay, so briefly, chidrens. Let's get back onto our What the Fuck episode.
Wait, if it's a What the Fuck episode, there's nothing to get back to, that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, then.
That's true.
Sorry.
But I actually want to get back to an actual point.
Oh, sorry.
An actual point. Sometimes What the Fuck has a point.
Okay.
This week, somebody had tweeted that she didn't know how to explain domming to a vanilla friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And my response, I mean, what can you do in 140 characters? Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So my response was, you know, well, I mean, are you talking about within the context of a relationship? Is it DS? What are you talking about exactly? And the simplest answer that I could give was, you know, it's essentially the person that's in control of the relationship in the relationship. But that's really, really super oversimplifying it. I don't mean, and I struggle because I think that keeping it very simple when you're explaining it to a vanilla is good.
Right.
But if they're kink friendly, you're gonna want more information.
Right.
And how do you describe that?
Well, I mean, I think that when you're describing it to someone who is kink friendly, I think you have that added leeway to give how you perceive it, because something that we touched upon on Friday's panel was that we all perceive these different roles in BDSM a different way.
Absolutely.
And I had actually had never really thought about what my thoughts were about slave versus submissive.
Really? Because we've talked about it.
Yeah, but I've never thought about it in terms of, like, for me.
No.
Like, where, I mean, because it's, I feel like for me, like, go to, okay, submissive. Like, that's, you know?
No.
Okay, but wait. See, I'm not there yet.
That's fine.
Wherever you are at, I'm not there yet. So, you know, and so Friday, you know, these other girls, we're talking about what it is for them and how they perceive it in others. And I guess, you know, to go back to what you were saying, sorry, I'm like getting really distracted. When you're explaining it to someone who is DS friendly, or you can plug in what your perception is. Whereas if you are explaining it to someone who's more vanilla, you can't give them your real, like, soapboxy explanation about it, because they're not balls deep in what the scene is.
Right, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And so it's all about, everything is about perception, and everything is about where you are and what you've experienced in your life. Whether, I mean, in reality, we're talking about kink or not kink. So it's one of those things where if some people get very frightened by labels, example, slave. It's a very intense word, and it's very full of emotion and negative thoughts, and it's derogatory because slavery is bad, right? And everybody agrees to that. Slavery sucks. So when someone freely, willingly, joyously defines themselves as a slave, it confuses us. Even it confuses people in the kink world, where, you know, you're not really sure that you as a person are willing to brand yourself as a slave. You as a person are willing to brand yourself as the master or an owner of a person, because there's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of things that go with those words. But again, that's based on a particular person's definition. Everybody can have different definitions based on what they have. But so when you're talking to a vanilla, I think that, you know, probably don't say slave. That kind of would scare a vanilla.
Yeah, but, would.
But, you know, as far as, you know, it essentially, you know, you can kind of keep it real simple, and then it opens the dialogue if they're interested in knowing more. It's about one person having the majority of the control and the other person giving them service in some way. And then it can be like, oh, you know, they can ask more questions if they're interested, or if they're not, they can just be like, okay, I'm going to back off on that.
And sometimes they themselves throw out those words. They throw out submissive, they throw out slave. And that's a really good kind of, like, waited, like, you know, just kind of test the temperature of where they're at mm-hmm. on that spectrum of vanilla and kinky.
Yeah.
So just say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the panel was interesting because there were a lot of really, there were questions that I think that have been, you know, heard a lot. And I think that we answer them differently based upon where we are in our lives, what we've experienced in our lives. And there were some questions in there. Number one was kind of discussing, you know, how would you describe the difference between the master-slave dynamic versus the dominant and submissive dynamic? And that kind of opened up this whole other kind of dialogue for our listeners and other people out there, where it's not just master-slave and dominant-submissive. It's also top, bottom, switch. Some people don't really realize what they mean. And also, I can sit here and give you my definition, but the truth of the matter is it's my definition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Somebody else can have a different definition.
Yeah, you know, it's not like, you know, a submissive only does this. A slave only does that. I think that when it comes to submissive, slave, bottom, kinkster, there's a lot of crossover. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crossover. And that's precisely because everyone has their different definitions. And they go, you know, whatever works for them, whatever works for me, submissive, whatever any of those actions or you know, responsibilities that fit with me that I can do that feel right.
Right.
That's where I go.
Right.
Could it be something that, you know, someone else who identifies as a slave that they take on? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, generically, people talk about, you know, like topping and doming and topping from the bottom and bottoming and switching. And, you know, I just kind of generically, a switch is somebody who does both topping and bottoming, which, mm-hmm. you know, what does topping and bottoming mean? Bottoming is, you know, the one that's getting the beating.
The recipient.
Topping is the one that's doing the beating. So if you think, you know.
The provider.
The provider's on top, beating the person on the bottom. That makes sense. Yes. Yeah, that one goes. Yeah. Works for me. Yeah. The hand squishes on the foot. I don't know. I'm making shit up. Whatever.
What the fuck?
What the fuck episode. So I can make shit up if I want. Anyway. And a switch usually freely goes between those. Now, interestingly enough, most switches that I know are usually a greater percentage one or the other.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very rare for me to find a 50-50 switch.
How do you even measure something like that? I don't think that's measurable.
Really, it isn't?
I'm asking.
A person in themselves can't look and realize the amount of time that they desire to be submissive more than being dominant. The amount of time they desire being dominant more than being submissive.
Hey, if you're a switch, give us a call. Our phone number is 800-893-9562. I suppose that there is that.
Yeah, but no, I mean, what's the likelihood of no switch is all 50-50. I mean, because we're all ourselves. I mean, even me. I'm not 100% master dominatrix, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, I got shit in me where I'm like, no, whatever. That's cool. You take the lead. I'm good. I don't need to be the master of everything. You know, but it doesn't make me submissive. It just means me, you know, that's the what the fuck part of me. Or whatever the fuck, you know. And you, yourself, as submissive as you are, you do have some dominant tendencies in there because you're not 100%. Nobody's 100%. That's my point. It doesn't mean we're all switches.
I see, it just means
that, you know, my larger identifying, quote, characteristic is definitely dominant, but it doesn't mean, you know, I'm not running around, please spank me. No. That shit ain't gonna fly.
No.
Unless it's during sex. That's a different point altogether. It doesn't qualify. I'm sorry. That just makes it sex. So that's just that's one of my beliefs and based upon my conversations with switches is that, you know, they have different percentages.
Well, you know what? And you're right, because I just got a text message from a friend that reminded me that, how much I enjoy pegging the man.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a very dominant trait.
It is. It really is. Thank you, friend, for reminding me of that. Well, no, because I could really like, you know.
But, no, I know. I've been there.
Yeah.
I had to stop you. You were going to wreck his poor little ass.
But, yeah.
there was not a lot of pleasure going on there for him.
No, no, there really wasn't.
There wasn't at that moment.
Jeremy's
he was not liking that. And there was a point when she was like digging her fingers in into his asshole and he's like, ow! This was my friend. And I'm like, all right, we need to separate the fingers from the asshole at this point. And she's, see? So although you would categorize yourself as a pure, diehard submissive, you clearly have these moments where there's an essence of dominance, but it does not make you a switch.
Right. And it's, for me, it's a perfect storm kind of thing. It has to, it just, you know, the stars have to align, you know?
By perfect storm and stars aligning, you mean it has to be a man that's willing to let you put a strap on and stick it in his ass. That's the perfect storm?
Well, I also want to be...
Because that doesn't seem like a very perfect storm. That kind of seems like L.A. rain. You know what I'm saying? No. Stormwatch 2012.
No. But, you know, but I'm saying, like, it has to be someone that I'm comfortable with. I have a really ick about...
Oh, so you mean all of the guys that came up to you on Friday night after you had expressed your just gleeful desire to put a strap on in boys' asses when they came up to you and said, oh, really? That sounds really good. And they were, like, arching their butt to get their ass a little closer to you, that they weren't part of the perfect storm?
No. Fuck no. Yeah, no. I don't want to peg every man that I see.
See, that's where you and I differ.
No. I don't want to peg every man that I see, but it's strange because there's this like a weird kind of chemistry that happens that makes me want to bend them over and put it up their butt.
When they're sweet, sweet, nice boys?
When they're sweet and nice to me. When they're sweet and nice to me, yes.
But if they're an asshole, you don't want to wreck their asshole.
I don't want to be anywhere around them. Get away.
This seems so reversed. You would think because clearly your gleeful desire to do this to men is to put them in a diminished role, in a subservient role to you, which mm-hmm. is obviously societally reversed for what the expectation is, where women are generally in the subservient role. Mm-hmm. So clearly it is driven by, I don't want to say man hate, but clearly it's driven by a dislike of men in general. So it would make sense then that you would want to wreck the assholes of men you don't like or men that are jerks, but you want to wreck the assholes of sweet, nice boys that probably don't deserve to have their asshole wrecked, except for the fact that they want to have their asshole wrecked.
You know, funny you should bring this up because somebody asked me about this on Friday and said, well, so what? I mean, what's your deal?
See, they asked what the fuck.
They did ask what the fuck. And here's what the fuck is. In everything that we do, not just pegging, but just in general in BDSM world, if somebody's not having fun, then it's not fun. You know, if one of us is not enjoying
it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, let me clarify then.
Because if somebody's not having fun with me, sometimes that's the most fun at all.
No, but I'm saying if there's a guy and I'm going to bend him over and I'm going to fuck his ass,
Lucky Socks chimed in. FYI.
But you know, if they're going to let me do that, it's, you know, I go back to basics and I think, okay, you're trusting me to do that. You're trusting me to not really damage you all that much. I'll damage you a little bit just cause I'm having so much fun. But you know,
she doesn't know the power of her strap on.
No, I don't think I do. But it's okay. But I don't know. It just, it's not something where like, I'm out to fucking get you because you're a man, you know, it's not that. And even though the
intent.
Right. Exactly. And even though, yes, I have been fucked over by men and men have been really, really, really shitty to me. That's not, I mean, that may fuel the like excitement, but it's not what ends up being like, what's the energy in the room when I'm actually doing that. You know,
see, and I like intent.
Mm-hmm. And I like it when other people are having fun too. When it's like that excitement of like, I love that excitement of I'm going to do this, and look at me, I'm so happy, I'm so excited to do this. Are you as excited as I am? Oh my god, because I can't contain myself. I am going to fill your ass with whatever I want.
I don't know about
how awesome is that?
But I just had this vision of Nancy and the person she's pegging wearing matching little like St. Pauli's Girl outfits with a little wig of blonde braids, and she's bending him over, and she's lifting his little St. Pauli's Girl dress while she has her little St. Pauli's Girl dress on, and she's pegging him. That to me is a Halloween I want video of. This needs to happen. So my birthday is not coming up, but when it happens, I'm putting that out there.
I will give you a pegging show.
And I would, and I like the matching costumes.
Okay.
I like this. This sounds fantastic. People, and you're feel free to take this idea, people, and do it on your own. But please let me know. And if there's pictures, I would really appreciate that too.
That's thelovebite@gmail.com.
All right. So we talked about switches, which turned into, you know, anal, not rape, but pegging. And by the way, Lucky Socks agreed that switches are generally more one than the other. So it's not just me. And I'm not basing this on just like, this is how I think. I'm basing it on switches I've talked to, because the concept of being a switch is so fascinating to me. It's like, really, you can just switch? How does that work? So, I mean, I've talked to a lot of switches. And then there's, you know, we know the top, the bottom. The top is the giver, the bottom is the taker. And then there's master slave and dominant and submissive, which that's totally open to a person's interpretation.
You know, I gotta say though, the idea of that master slave role is it's enticing. It's enticing in that I haven't fully explored what that means in how I perceive it. It's kind of like, oh, what is that mysterious thing? What is that? What's different about that that I haven't thought about? Like, what's going on? What is this? You know? And I guess I keep waiting to hear that the description or definition that appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't quite found it yet. I haven't figured it out for myself. But yeah, I hear that and it's almost like it's a unicorn.
Is it a unicorn?
For me,
did you just
it
say
is.
That?
It's totally a unicorn.
That's funny.
Well, a successful master-slave dynamic seems like a unicorn.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it just, I mean, what I do realize is that I feel like that is that extra level of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's something a lot more intimate.
Yeah.
So that's why it seems like a unicorn. For it to be successful.
I will say this, that Friday night, Master Fauna, who is a woman, by the way, was discussing why she calls herself master instead of mistress.
Mm-hmm.
And her logic behind it, to me, was infallible. And then it made perfect sense, and it kind of made it appealing. Like, I like this master. Where she calls herself master because it's after you've achieved a level of mastery, where it's non-gender specific. It is about you have mastered something, not that you were technically mastering someone, which you could, but it's about mastery.
You know, you get an MBA and it's a master in business administration. It's not a mistress in business administration.
That's a whole different class.
Just
yeah,
saying.
But I think that we all get kind of wrapped up in titles and what they mean or what they don't mean. And we like, it's really, this is one of my, I'm going to get out of soapbox for a second here.
Because
it's what the fuck episode. We are a group of misfits. We are a group of sexual deviants with a very specific deviation. We are already outcasts and ostracized by the normal mainstream society. The fact that there is so much backstabbing, cattiness, bitchiness, assholery that happens within the community is unfucking believable. That we would sit there and look at somebody who wants to, a female wants to call them master and be like, you know, you have no right to call yourself a master. Or even myself, I'm just as guilty where I found somebody called themselves empress and I was, you know, like, empress, I'm not fucking calling her that. I'm not calling anybody fucking empress. You know, but that's really bitchy of me. That's what she wants to call herself. I mean, bitch, you got balls if you want me to call you empress or goddess. You really do. But you know what? Who's to say they can't pull it off? Who's to say that they aren't an empress or a goddess? That's not my decision. I don't get to say that. They're not my empress. They're not my goddess. You know, but it's also one of those things where within the community, it's happened so often where, you know, oh my God, did you hear that so-and-so is teaching a class? They so cannot teach that class. I don't even know why. I mean, I'm not going. You're not going to go, are you? Oh, my God. You're just going to learn everything wrong. Why would you do that? Oh, my God. You can only learn from this. You can only go to this dungeon. You can only do that. You talk to that person? Oh, my God. Why do you talk to that person? Please, come on. We are all deviants. We are all in the same pool. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to act like that, that means you're peeing in the corner. And guess what? I don't want to be around your pee. I want to be over here and swim wherever the fuck I want to swim. You know, that's my soapbox.
I like that. I agree.
That's how I feel about that.
We're around so many people who have varied backgrounds. They come from different places. They do different things. Whether it be vanilla or kinky, they're all diverse. And what I like is that we live in LA, and LA is... It's the gold mine. You know, you can go anywhere, you can talk to anyone, and you will hear a different definition about all these things that we've been talking about from anyone. Mm-hmm. You will see flogging done differently. Mm-hmm. You will see fire play done differently. Mm-hmm. You will see just a variety. And I've always been told, you take what works for you and you leave the rest. If you don't need it, you don't need it. You know?
Well, and additionally... Part of the reason we do this podcast is because we're both are, you know, voracious learners, but we're also eager to share anything that we know. Pay it forward. But what I would encourage everybody is, you know, don't let your education stop here. Don't let this be your only source. You know, go and seek it out other places, other resources, other people. Because just because what we're saying is what we're saying, it doesn't mean that it's the Bible truth, because you know we've been talking about the Bible all the time. It's not that. I mean, the joy and the beauty of BDSM is the fact that you can fit in there anywhere because it is so pliable. It is so. The point of it is to be so diverse in order for anybody in their particular level of deviance to be able to, you know, grow and expand. And so keep seeking it out. Keep growing. Keep learning. Keep expanding your kinky horizons. You know, that's what I say about that.
I agree with that, which you are saying.
What the fuck?
I like this what the fuck episode.
I'm going to be really interested to listen back. I don't think that there's going to be any sort of, you know, congruence, any sort of logic. It's just going to like stream of consciousness. We have a stream of consciousness episode. I blame the sandwiches. Can I blame the sandwiches?
No, because the sandwiches are, it's making us legit, okay?
Oh, the sandwiches are making us legit.
Well,
before the sandwiches, we were not legit?
No. It's like we've arrived, you know?
But they're not for us.
I know, but still, I don't give a fuck. I'm eating it.
All right. I have nothing to say about that.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that... We're that important that we got sandwiches after the fact. And it looks like we have a caller. Well, hello there. Yeah.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Lovely. I know who this is.
I finally got on when you guys were on air. Should I be turning the thing down? I don't know what the topic is.
Well, we're having a smorgasbord kind of topic. We're all over the place. We don't have a specific...
Turning the volume down? What should I do?
Yeah, turn the volume down.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
We're a Vegas buffet of kink tonight.
Okay. I just figured I'd just call because Nancy said to call sometimes to the radio, and I finally caught you when you're on air. What's the topic? So there's no specific topic today. Oh, so I can't give an opinion? Oh, fuck.
No. We're kind of all over the map. We were talking about certain things like what definitions are to different people. We talked a little bit about our play. But most recently, I was getting on a soapbox about how we're a community of deviants and that we should all pool together as opposed to kind of get... bitchy and clicky, you know what I'm saying? That's one of my things.
Yeah, I think that you know, the more opportunities we have, the better. I'm really happy that Los Angeles has so many opportunities for ladies of power to network with other ladies and gentlemen that adore empowered ladies. I think that's very important to have so many venues to do that in.
May I tell everybody who this is?
Sure.
The caller is Mistress Lisa, the founder of LADS, which is Los Angeles Doms and Subs. It is a femdom organization that's been around for 11 years.
And of which you are a leader.
Of which I am a leader. So.
Anyway, now my credibility is totally fucked now that you said that. Anyway. Anyway, as far as it's concerned, I think that it's fabulous to live in a city that has so much. For me, the problem that I have is that a lot of the ladies are so fucking competitive in this community. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to outdo everybody else, and that makes me very sad, because the whole idea, when we started LADS, there was no other femdom group out there, and femdom, female dominance or ladies of power, we're getting a lot of disrespect every time a male dom saw them. One night with me and you'll be sucking my dick and that kind of stuff. And anyway, that's all changed now. We have our dignity, we have our respect, and there's other groups that have come out, and I think that's fabulous. However, I find that, you know, everybody's really caddish, and I agree with your soapbox. I think it'd be nice if everybody would let everybody define themselves, if everybody would respect everybody's space, and everybody would support the larger cause. The larger cause is that we treat each other with dignity and that we treat each other with concern and care, you know? I don't see any reason for there to be a competition. You know, it's like, I see two, I always bring up these two allegories, and I don't want to monopolize the conversation here, but I am, right? Sorry.
It's okay.
Did you hang up on me yet?
No, go ahead.
Anyway. I'll try to make them brief. There's two parables. One is an African parable. It's about crabs in a barrel. If you put a bunch of crabs in the barrel, none of them get out because they all pull each other down. Okay, that's the yin, the yang. Okay, the yang is two goats on a narrow path whose source is Buddhism. So in Buddhism, they say there were two goats. I'm paraphrasing these parables to make it quick and easy to understand. You have two goats on a narrow path. One is going up the mountain, a very steep mountain. The other one is coming down the steep mountain. When they meet, either one pushes the other one off or one lays down so the other can pass. And I believe... And the goats will naturally lay down and let one will lay down and let the other one pass, and then they both get to their destination in one piece, and it's a beautiful experience, you know. And they get where they're going, and they don't stand in each other's way, and they don't throw each other off the mountain. So that's the yang. There's the yin and the yang. Everything has a positive and negative. So, bottom line is, I believe everybody in our community should be more like goats on a narrow path than crabs in a barrel. But unfortunately, since we have so many people that are attention sluts and so many people that have ego issues, everybody tries to outdo everybody. And that's the saddest thing about our community. We're all supposed to be letting each other do. I'm on my soapbox. Sorry.
That's okay.
Actually, I stepped on yours. I'm sorry. Do I have permission, ma'am?
Go ahead.
I would like to see everybody come together, because we are what Guy Baldwin calls a group of radical sex practitioners. And I think that we should all respect each other's authenticity. And I call everybody what they want to be called, and I call every lady ma'am. You know, I show respect for femdoms. I even sometimes call submissive ma'am or sir. You show respect for another human being and their right to exist and their right to call themselves what they want and their right to be switch or whatever. When we started LADS, you know, a lot of people, I won't name names because you'll know who I'm talking about, but other people might not. I don't want to start any shit. Anyway, we were told in the beginning, you can't have switches in LADS. Switches are just confused people. And I was told this by a bisexual woman. And I said, well, what if I told you bisexuality is bisexuals are confused? That shut her down. But anyway, the bottom line is, you know, everybody has the right to be what they want to be. You know, and isn't that what our community is supposed to be? As long as you don't infringe on somebody else's space.
Amen. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more.
You know, if I step on your consensuality, if I do something that you feel is offensive, then I'm out of protocol. If I want to call myself Mistress Hoochie Coochie and you think that's not dignified, who has to deal with that issue? You would. I wouldn't. I can call myself anything I want, you know? As far as the master thing, I think it's a bit heady, and just like you think Empress is a bit heady, but fine, if somebody wants to call themselves master, I'll call them master. Makes them happy, makes them feel good about themselves, and who am I to argue about that? I wouldn't call myself master because I don't believe in male-dominated expressions like that. I don't even like to call God he, because I feel that God is male and female. Because we're created in God's image and we're women, hello.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't like, what would the word be? What's the word I'm thinking of when it's male-dominated? Chauvinistic?
Patriarchal? Misogynistic?
Yeah. chauvinistic, male chauvinistic expressions that qualify as better. Like, if right. you're a master, you're better. I got my third degree Reiki. I like to call it third degree Reiki rather than master Reiki. I don't want to be a master. I'm a mistress, but they don't have the term mistress Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
a Reiki mistress. Yep. Me and Miss Kaz were thinking about we should start that, a Reiki mistress for the female Reiki master. But, you know, I'd rather be called third degree Reiki than be called a Reiki master. But that's my preference. That's my
right.
thing.
Right.
If you want to call yourself master, go for it, you know.
Excellent.
Anyway.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Mistress. Really appreciate
yes.
it.
And you guys are doing a fabulous job. I've listened to a whole bunch of your stuff, and I'm very proud of both of you.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll see you soon.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye, darling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, and I think that the overall point is that, you know, people want to be called whatever they want to be called. And if we are to be respectful within our community, then, you know, we call them that. Sometimes it's very difficult, I will say that, but sometimes it's not.
And we have another call.
Jesus, God in heaven, what the fuck? See? What the fuck episode?
What the fuck? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Well, hello. I know who this is, too.
Fuck, you know, before I do, can I at least listen to people?
I'm
or
sorry.
Figure it out? God damn, it's like mystery date.
It is mystery. Well, it's what the fuck?
So, I don't even know how I can follow Mistress Lisa, because that was a whole lot, and I feel like, well, shit, what I have to say is not at all.
But it's what the fuck episode, so it doesn't matter.
Right. And it's what the fuck so you have to say.
It's also whatever the fuck.
Yes.
Whatever the fuck. All right. Well, I, want to applaud both of you. I think you guys do a great job spreading information and giving us vanilla people. I don't even know. Am I vanilla or am I like a...
Foo, you are not vanilla.
She's king friendly.
I mean,
she's a sprinkle.
Okay, can I be like chocolate chip? Like with little pieces of...
How about kink adjacent?
She can be a swirl.
Okay. Well, anyhow, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from your show. And on Friday, attending with you guys to, you know, this dungeon, I learned a whole lot more. And I have to say that I gained a new, completely new perspective on the whole BDSM scene. And I have to say, a newfound respect. I had no idea how thought out it was. And I even compared it to an art. It is definitely an art, and it's not something that you go into lightly. And I have such a huge respect for everybody there that's a part of it, because everyone is so aware of what they want and aware of what they need and very aware of others' needs. If you're in a in some sort of relationship, whether it be dom submissive or master slave, being so aware of what someone else's needs while still having your needs met. I mean, even in the vanilla world, like, that doesn't happen, and it's so much more. It seems to work out so much better in that scene than in the BDSM scene. So I walked away with like completely these open eyes to the whole thing, and I have to thank you guys for allowing me to come along and observe and So yeah, I just wanted to give my opinion on that because I thought it was really fantastic. I saw mentoring. I mean, like, so much communication too. Like, is it okay if I do this? Is it okay? Can I do this? Can I touch here? I was like, I wish all relationships were like that.
Warm and fuzzies.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm glad. I'm glad that that you had that positive experience. And
even if it's not for me, you know, like, I did kind of go in there kind of curious, and I realized, okay, this area is really not for me, but I still walked away with a better understanding and a much more greater respect for it. So, you know, and then the fact that it was so welcoming and nobody made me feel like, you know, like I was out of place or anything, you know, just there as an observer, as a visitor, I still felt very welcomed. So.
Turns out we're us kinky people are actually very nice.
Very nice. Very
yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the call. Really yes. Appreciate it. It was very sweet.
No problem.
Yes.
Thank you guys.
You know, we're running out of time, but I really quickly, one of the things that before we go to another caller, please don't tell me you have another fucking caller because I got 2 seconds. One of the things that she had said that I think is so key for the differences between kind of vanilla and the kink is the communication, is that we do actually go through detailed outlines of what is okay and what is not okay, what we like, what we don't like, which you never talk about in vanilla. I mean, how many times have you even had a conversation about, you know, detailed conversation about sex reality, not just trying to allure them into sex in the vanilla world? You know, you talk about how you really like your pussy licked, your ass licked, your balls sucked, you know, whatever. And you don't talk about that shit generally.
Right. Hey, Sonia, when was the last time that you told someone how you like your vagina licked? Just a serious question.
Seriously.
Seriously. She's laughing.
Right. Because, I mean, that's it's a
legit. It's been a long time.
Right.
I'll tell you that much.
Because it's just generally, it's not something that you do. But, I mean, we all have our things. We all like it different ways, which is why there's so many different vibrators out there. And the truth is, not everybody has the skill set for it. So it's like, you know, it's not a bad thing to educate your partner in this. But it is societally frowned upon because, you know, you're too sexually embracive of that side of you, like a slut. So that makes it a challenge. But not just for that, but there's an expectation that men or another partner actually, they just inherently know this. Don't worry, I know, I've got the skill. No, baby, you don't. It's like my first blowjob. Fuck, I had no goddamn idea what I was doing. I had no clue. You know, but it's one of those things where you don't know until you have that communication, which is one of the things that BDSM has. It's the communication. And it's okay to ask, how much experience do you have in this? Could you imagine the horror if a guy was like, I want to go down, and you're like, let's talk about your experience. And do you have references? I'd like to know what your past partners think about your oral skills.
Us kinksters do references.
We do FYI. Fucking references.
We do references.
Ask around for, tell me about that person. You know, you don't do that in sex. No, I would like to actually have proof that his cock is 8 inches. I would actually like to have proof that he knows how to use it. I would like to have proof that she, you know, does her tongue thing that she says she does, you know. Tying a cherry stem in a bar when you're in college is not going to equate to any sort of oral skills. Just saying.
And there you have
it. Another soapbox night.
And there you have it. That was our What the Fuck episode.
Yeah, wasn't it the best?
It really was.
I really enjoyed this.
I enjoyed myself so much.
I'll change my mind when I listen back, but I'm enjoying it now.
I would like to have sex afterwards.
You would like to have sex afterwards.
With the you.
See, what the fuck?
Right. Okay. So please like our Facebook page, The Love Bite, and follow us on Twitter. That's the_love_bite. And then I'm novice_Nancy. And then I'm also on FetLife. And then we'll be back next Sunday.
We will be back next Sunday. No,
ish.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Next Sunday's not Mother's Day, no.
No.
It's the day after Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
So it's Hangover de Mayo. That's what that day is.
Well, then. Well, you all have a lovely evening.
Yes.
And have a lot of sex, too. Okay.